Osiris.
You know what really chaps my ass? Not being able to get into a show. Like, when the tickets go on sale online, and then like 30 seconds later, all the tickets are gone. There is nothing more, well, there's a lot of things that are more annoying than that, but that's one of the top 10 annoying things.
Right up.
Like a show you really wanted to get into, and then scalpers got all the tickets. But CashorTrade.org is disrupting the secondary ticket market. Some people have called them the Airbnb of tickets. I guess that's because you can get tickets to shows after they've gone on sale and sold out because fans have bought them. They help real fans avoid scalping and purchase tickets for face value. Together, we're the change that industry needs so bad. Go to CashorTrade.org/Osiris and get 25% off a year of gold memberships. The gold membership comes with the option of receiving push and text notifications each time a ticket's posted that you're looking for, which is pretty cool. I mean, if you don't have the time to sit there on an app all day or on your computer, just to get a text when your ticket goes on sale is pretty sweet. You can also reply immediately without delay and gain the renew feature to bump your post to the top of the list, increasing your post exposure when looking for hard to get tickets. Again, go to CashorTrade.org/Osiris, O-S-I-R-I-S, and get the coupon code Osiris when you check out to get 25% off that gold membership. Go do it, guys. Get the tickets out of the hands of those scalpers and back into the hands of people like you and me that really want to go see the shows and are going to bring a good vibe and make things seem really cool and do that telepathic funk that we all do and all that cool shit. Yeah. CashorTrade.org/Osiris to get 25% off that gold membership. Pretty sweet.
Put a little boogie in there.
Mel's already giggling. We haven't even really got on the road yet.
I've been giggling all day. Actually, no, I've been emotional all day.
Hey now, No Simple Road family. Welcome back. We're on the porch. It's cold outside. Darwin's shaking his head. Birds are chirping. The ivy's green. And so are you. Are you green?
And it's cold.
It is chilly.
It's snowing today.
Well, sort of.
It was snowing today. There was snow
You're
coming
snowing
down.
Today.
It snowed last night for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. I posted that video of Darwin chasing the snow. He's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What do we do? I'm supposed to talk now.
We are talking.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Hey, guys.
Welcome. We're glad
to
you're here.
Porch.
So this week's interview is with Greyhounds. And when you search them on iTunes, search Greyhounds, not the Greyhounds. Tell them the story, Apple.
Okay. Well, the...
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well,
I was searching the wrong Greyhounds.
I was searching the Greyhounds, which they're also really good at what they do, but it's kind of like music from like a Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez film soundtrack. Really good, and I was listening to them for about the last month on and off here and there, and was like, okay. And Aaron and Melanie are both going,
it's
these
like,
guys are so soulful and great.
It's
and
like,
it's like mariachi.
The other one is like surf mariachi music.
Yeah, rockabilly.
And I was
it's
coming
cool
home and
music.
I was like, dude,
really
you got to listen to Greyhounds, man. They're awesome. It's kind of psychedelic and funky and bluesy. And he was like, I don't know, man. And I was like, dude, I've been listening to it like all week at work and I've been listening to it for like the past month. They're fucking awesome. And he just had this look on his face like, all right, man, I guess.
So
whatever you're into, brother.
Aaron comes out here, what was it, two nights ago. I'm sitting here after work, relaxing, and listening to The Greyhounds. And Aaron comes out and goes, what are you listening to? And I was like, The Greyhounds. And he's like, it's Greyhounds, dude. He's all, no wonder. So 2 days ago is when I really got turned on to these guys. And this is kind of embarrassing, Andrew and Anthony. You're going to listen to this and laugh, but... So the last two days, especially last night, I mean, I listened to them for probably about 8 to 10 hours straight last night.
So you guys got to understand, Apple has this like little ritual that
yes,
he does.
Yes, he does.
So
it's
he'll,
so cute.
He'll like, Thursday night is the like the pregame show
Apple. It's mini Friday.
Yeah. So you know it's Thursday because Apple's coming home with like maybe a six pack or a small bottle of whiskey or a bottle of vodka. And then,
but
so,
this week he did not do
no,
that.
No, well, he had a full bottle of vodka in the house. Night. That's why.
Well, I was gonna say the raspberry wild vodka.
Wild Roots vodka.
Really wild Roots vodka.
Yeah. So, and that's a non-sponsor. Just saying. We didn't get any money for that. Anyway, so last night it was funny, man. He's like pouring drinks for himself and he's starting to get a little rosy cheeked. He's looking more and more Santa Clausy as the night goes on. And he gets really like, Apple is the most loving, emotional drunk you ever met in your whole life. And he's just like, these guys are fucking amazing, man. It was awesome to watch last night. So funny. So anyway, yeah, he was listening to the wrong music for the past 2 months. And yeah, so that's who's on the show this week. And
they're incredible.
Super soulful, cool guys. You guys are going to enjoy hearing their voices and their music and the interview, I think.
So they started talking about being open to all kinds of viewpoints and music and all this, and how you need to develop a thick skin. And so, well, I'm bringing it up because we always talk about our reviews,
the
right? The elephant in the room. Well, you guys don't know about it because you haven't been living with us for the past week, but.
Or have you?
I've heard some noises but, in the basement.
No, Aaron came home from work one day and was a little muffled because...
Muffled? I was like...
you were out of...
She was like, why are you muffled?
I also I noticed you were out muffed. Of fo- you were out of focus, too.
What's muff? That's even worse. Then I would still be like...
and out of focus.
No way. I was muffed and muffled, guys. Miffed? Is miffed the word you're looking for? Wow. We have lost Melanie. And she's gone.
Melanie, where'd you go?
Mel, come back to us. The vein is standing out on her forehead. Oh, wow. Anyway. I'm not sure where she was going with the story, so I can't carry on, and I refuse
like
to hit pause.
She's our laugh track now in the background.
Okay,
right?
Give it a shot, Mel. Go.
Because we got a less than perfect star review, 5-star review, and one of the things in the review said that. Our show was almost unlistenable due to Aaron and I's constant bickering, which I guess if you don't know us
or that, you're not in on the joke,
it's hard to know people.
It's pure silliness. It's
through
fun.
like okay, you guys. A lot of people have said that you feel like you know us, and you do know a huge part about us. But there's a whole other part that's like the daily, everyday that only the people that live here every day know. So there's a certain way that we all communicate, and we're like Aaron. Like if you're listeners of the show, Aaron and I are 20 years deep into our relationship, and so we have
I'm joking.
Oh, we were doing the bickering thing right now. I forgot. Oh. He caught me off guard.
Anyway,
but like it takes a lot to run this beautiful life that we have, and we have
and
to have forms
no simple
of,
road too.
Yeah, and we have to have ways of bantering and playing with each other, and like creating our own mini dramas, and then coming to our own rescue. Like
if there ain't no heat. There ain't no spark.
So a lot of the times when you guys hear stuff, you're hearing it and it's all honest. But me and Aaron also have backstory, and we may have something going on that day that's a little fun and playful and flirty that no one knows about. And through the show, we'll say stuff. And then other times it's just like we've just had a long week and we just need to get stuff out. Or we have so many different emotions that you guys are hearing. So let's get that ugly feeling out of the way so that we can proceed and have a good time. Because yeah. I love to have fun. And that's always my... like objective is to have as much fun at work, at home.
Follow the fun.
Yeah. So like if it's not fun, and this week it wasn't fun, like there was, like I said, that weird feeling in the house all week because Aaron's feelings were hurt, and then something else happened.
I'm a sensitive artist.
I know he is, but I didn't want to not say it on the air because I thought it would be, because it was about the show. Like if it was a personal matter, like, you know, in mine and Aaron's personal life, yeah, it would probably stay off the air. But
maybe.
This is about the show.
Apple has, he's just over there brewing with something to say.
No, I'm not.
Well, you know what's funny is
that we've spent enough time on this.
Apple's been hearing it all week too, from Aaron's side, and then from our side. Then he's thinking about it.
It's one person's opinion. You're either on the bus or not. You're not on the bus. You're gonna get left at the bus stop. Okay, so we're interviewed Greyhounds this week. Spending too much energy on this.
I'm just airing it so we can get it out. Like it's like the fart. Yeah, this is the fart.
It's been aired.
Yeah.
Done been aired.
All right, are you feeling better, baby?
I felt better 20 minutes after.
Oh my god, Apple, is that true? Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say this will be the end of it. I start every show saying, "Hey now, No Simple Road family." And that's not bullshit. You guys are our family and we are creating this little tribe. And that's not so little anymore.
Uncle Timmy doesn't like it.
Well, good. So,
yeah,
that's it. I mean that. And, yeah, that's it. I love you guys.
Look.
That's it.
That's Aaron gets the last word. We're all done.
Done.
Look, we're going to kiss and seal the deal.
See? Stop it.
That's so fake.
Don't touch me.
That's so fake.
That was for the cameras.
Stop the bickering, Apple.
Yeah, okay, so.
What?
No, okay, so this week we interviewed these two rad cats from Greyhounds.
Yes.
So there is no musical genre box you can put these guys in. And they even said that himself. I'm not going to repeat what he said because you guys are about to hear it. But yeah, you wouldn't say these guys are a psychedelic band or these guys are a blues band or these guys are a jam band or these guys are blah, blah, whatever.
They take their influences from everything around
life.
From life, exactly. And they are super open-minded and their musical styles open. And you guys are going to hear a really cool interview.
That's what happens when you do an interview in a few. Yep.
You're going to hear the interview.
So, but before you get to the interview, we have to do business. You and us and we and I and them have to do business. So follow us on Instagram at nosimpleroad.com and also on YouTube. Please smash that like and subscribe button on YouTube. Ryder is putting the episodes up on YouTube, and I know there's one up there that's Mark Duncan Trussell and it's somebody else, and we'll get that fixed. I forgot to tell him about it and I just remembered, and you guys are hearing it here first. And then also at nosimpleroad.com, if you click on the family up in the menu, that's where you can sign up for the newsletter. And I'm, like I said before, I don't blow up your guys' inbox with stuff. It's, you know, if we're going to put something out, you'll hear it there first, like shirts or stickers or something like that. And I don't know. I run stuff by you guys. It's kind of like the inner circle of the greater outer circle. And yeah. And then also there on, when you click that tab, the family at nosimpleroad.com is our Google Voice phone number. So you can leave show ideas. You can leave a voicemail there with a trip report, or if you just want to tell us something, that's where you can get in touch with the show. Also there at nosimpleroad.com at the bottom of the page in the footer is the Amazon link. And if you click through that link and go to Amazon and buy bazooka bubble gum or a fire pit or a dog toy or, I don't know, whatever, beard oil, a hairbrush, reading glasses,
lawn gnomes,
a lawn gnome. What else?
Like apple? Tennis ball.
An astronaut outfit.
Crab cracker. Water biscuits.
Yeah.
Off on a tangent. I'm sorry. If you buy anything on there, well, mostly anything, then they will give us a small portion of what you spend, and it's a way for you to support the show without.
I bet you didn't understand.
I'm still doing it. That's all I have to say about that. And then, guess what, guys?
What?
We still have shirts left.
What?
Yeah, we have a few left.
There's still larges left. I think there's one medium left. There's some smalls. And there's some XLs.
No more mediums.
Oh, okay. Take that back. So there's still some sizes left. If you want shirts with the cool hand logo on it, go to nosimpleroad.com. Click on the merch tab. You can get stickers there. You can get the shirts there. And yeah, that's a cool thing that you can do. And then last but not least, really, really not least, is Patreon. So patreon.com/nosimpleroad. Apple likes to drink while I'm talking.
Sorry. And I just crunched.
Why don't you crunch your
ice?
Here, do it in the mic. Come on, man. There you go. Patreon.com/nosimpleroad. Patreon is a way for you guys to support the show, and it's how we're doing our thing. It's how we pay for our hosting. It's how we got the shirts made. It's how we got stickers made. It's how we keep the train rolling down the tracks. There's different tiers that you can give on Patreon. You can give as little as a dollar and as much as you want. And
there's other ways to do it too, because Zachary, little sweetheart, gave us a single donation through PayPal, and he said it's not much, but you want to know something? It's not the monetary dollars.
It's the thought that counts.
I want to explain the thought. The thought is that Zachary was like sitting, listening to the show. And then at some point he's like, you know what? I got $5 extra. I'm totally going to give it to them. And then he logged on to his phone or whatever he was already listening to and went and got his little debit card out and put it on through PayPal and just pressed his amount and send. And then that thought in his head came to us as cash. And that cash...
Wow, so he's like an alchemist.
Yeah, so that cash helped us to pay for the way that you guys listen to us, or the t-shirt that you're rocking if you bought a No Simple Road t-shirt, or anything like Aaron just said that we use. Like, it's literally going to the show at this point. So, Zach, it wasn't a little thing. You bought us our cup of coffee that we sat out here and interviewed the Greyhounds with, this morning.
Greyhound. Interviewed Greyhounds.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well,
yeah. Don't, because they'll search the, and then they'll end up with some Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino theme music.
You guys know what I meant. I'm just saying, Zachary, don't ever think it was a small thing. I don't think it was small at all. I love it. And that's the end of it.
Zachary said he sent a note along with his PayPal gift, and he said, not much at all, but I figured I would share some cash. There will be more to come in the future, but I love what you guys are doing. And back at you, man. Thank you for helping us out.
Zach.
Thank you for transmuting thought into ones and zeros and sending it to us. And we're manifesting it as coffee and American spirits and stuff. So thank you, brother. Yeah, so that's our business stuff, you know? Reviews on iTunes, Instagram, follow us on YouTube, check out the newsletter, write in or text in or talk in to the voicemail, Amazon links, stickers and shirts, Patreon, all that cool stuff is part of this No Simple Road train that's happening. And you guys have been amazing with your feedback, and we love you. And yeah, so anybody else have anything to say before we start this amazing interview with these two really cool individuals?
Enjoy the interview, guys.
Yep, enjoy and listen to these guys. They're amazing.
So without further ado, we give you Greyhounds.
Morning.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I wish there was more stuff to find out about you guys, but I guess that's what
that's
this
what we're doing here.
About.
Yeah.
All right.
So welcome to No Simple Road, guys. It's a huge honor to have you on the show, man. It's a really trippy thing for us, man. Like, we're a group of music fans living in Portland, Oregon, that just started a podcast, and now we're getting to talk to people like you, and it's total trip for us.
Yeah, cool, man.
So Melanie said that, you know, she said, I wish there was more stuff that we could find out about you guys. And one of the things that I dug into about you guys and am super interested about is the whole junkyard thing.
The junkyard thing?
Yeah. So the junkyard sound?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess janky junkyard.
Janky. That's a good word. Janky.
Janky. I like that. Like, what's the attraction of using like older equipment and stuff that other people wouldn't pick up?
Well, frankly, it's kind of come about out of necessity, you know, because, you know, we're working on a low budget, you know, particularly in our, you know, earlier years. And so we just accumulated a lot of, you know, cheap gear that, you know, other people just didn't gravitate to. And, you know, that stuff comes with its own kind of character. And we like that. We like that character, you know. It's like we made it work for us over the years.
Yeah. I mean, it really does come through in the music, man. Like, there's a definite personality to Greyhounds that I haven't heard anywhere else. That's for sure.
Well, appreciate that.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, man. So what are the... Andrew, so like for you growing up, I mean, is this something that you always saw yourself doing, or did you just happen into it?
Well, I've always been into music, and then slowly just gravitated towards, you know, performing, I guess, or playing live on stage, just because that's where the music, you know, took us or whatever. It took me, you know, like been playing since I was like live since I was 15, 14. Whoa. Playing shows and just, it's just kind of always been a part of what I do. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to work a little bit more backwards. I'd like to, like, who are you cool guys that got together and, you know, like, forget about them. I guess maybe less formal, like, Anthony and Andrew, like how did you guys like get together? Like, who are you in each other's life right now? Like, that's kind of like what I want to hear. You guys have a great sound and all that stuff, but like, who are you guys?
Yeah, well, you know, this is Andrew. I'm cool. Originally from East Texas, and I moved out to Los Angeles to play music and put an ad in the paper. and this was in like 99. And met Anthony. He answered my ad and played over the phone. And then basically we've been playing and writing music together since then. We toured for a while, and then we jumped in with JJ Gray and Mofro and toured with them for almost 8 years. And, you know, just... then we decided to get back out and hit it. So that's what we've been doing for the past couple of years, just recording. And we also have a studio in Austin called Buds that we do a lot of work with other artists too, writing with them, helping kind of figure out what they need. Because we've been doing this for so long, we kind of know, we don't know all the answers, but we know a few. And we try to bestow that upon, like, up and coming and, you know, heritage musicians or whatever, you know, everybody's welcome. So, but
that's like a partnership.
Yeah, no, we've been working together for almost 20 years. So the writing, touring, producing, I mean, anything that involves music, you know, we're into it. So,
This is Apple. I'm also on the podcast here. Last night, I had a few drinks and was listening to your guys' library for probably about 8 hours. And I really, really was drawn to Accumulator. And you guys, like you're saying, the partnership, it's just, you guys have such a depth of, obviously, influence. I mean, I was hearing, like, Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Allman Brothers. Your guys' voices, too, are amazing. You're, like, such a contrast when you go from one song to the other. I'm wondering what, like, your influences are, because I hear so much from both of you, totally different styles.
Yeah, I'll let Farrell answer that one.
Well, you know, growing up, you know, fortunately for me, my folks had a really good record collection. You know, they listened to a lot of, you know, Parliament, Funkadelic,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
you know, King Sonny Ade, to, you know, old blues stuff, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And so I definitely was exposed to a wide range of music from a young age. And, you know, I just, Yeah, I just learned. I learned from an early age that there's no bad style of music. You know, there's a good example of every genre. You know, got to find it. You know, and find what speaks to you. So, you know, just got to keep an open mind, and that's, I think, that a big part of what informs our sound is that, you know, we are very open, you know, to whatever it is, as long as we feel like that sincerity and the intention behind it, you know, that's what speaks to us. And I think that's what speaks to most people. It's like, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, you don't put yourselves in a box, you know, like you're not a whatever band. It's just, yeah, and
we're not a jam band. We're not a blues band. We're not a whatever.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, why limit yourself? It's just like, you
exactly.
know,
exactly.
You got all these clothes in your closet. You know, you can wear whatever outfit you feel like wearing that day. It doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to like fit in any kind of style or whatever. It's just express whatever you're feeling. You know.
So can I ask, like, about your parents? Like, what were they like, musicians, or what were they like? Because it sounds like they really exposed you to just a lot of diversity in not just music, but in thinking and how to be. So what kind of people were they in your life, as far as, like, you know, growing up?
Well, my folks met in Oakland, California, in the 70s. And, that was always a cultural, you know, melting pot. And, I think that, you know, my mom's an educator, and, she always, you know, tried to, well, it's funny, actually, everybody in the band right now, our mothers are teachers.
Oh, that's cool. That's not by accident.
But yeah, you know, it's like, I think we all were kind of taught to just, you know, see things from more than just a narrow perspective, you know, because you got to consider a lot of things, you know, and you know, my folks are big appreciators of music and other things. And so definitely I count myself lucky, you know, to have been exposed to that kind of stuff, you know.
It is. It's a blessing to have that music out there.
Yeah.
Such a diverse, open-minded way of playing and thinking, and you're pumping that out. And so, thank you for that, because you listen to some of those songs when you're playing, and it's like just kind of like sends shivers up your spine in a familiar, cool way.
It's amazing what you guys touch on. Last night, I have a couple of your songs. I can't recall the names right now, but one song almost brings me to tears, kind of like a Marvin Gaye kind of feel, a little bit of political, a little bit of this and stuff. And then the next song, like late night slice, is just more fun and silly. And Hot Sauce. Oh, my God. Hot Sauce. I listened to that several times last night. And you guys, it's just amazing how you guys cover so many kinds of music.
Well, yeah, it's like he's talking about, you know, those clothes in the closet. And you said, we just kind of glossed over it, but like you said, this all happened from putting an ad in the newspaper, man. Like, if you think about that, like, I know how I see that, but how do you feel about that? Like, you've come, you know, you said 20 years down the road now, you have the opportunity of perspective and hindsight. Do you feel like that was the universe putting something together, or did you just take something and make it work?
I think it was a little bit of both, you know. I feel like it was very serendipitous for sure, and so many, you know, things, fate or coincidence, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's just, it's like keeps on affirming that we're kind of on the quote unquote right path, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's just funny how one incident like that can change the whole trajectory of your life,
right?
And you know, but just in keeping with the whole theme of what we've been talking about, is just being open to that and not, you know, shying away from new experiences. You know, it's like, I mean, Yeah, looking in the like I just got out of high school, and a friend told me like, hey, you know, I grew up playing piano in my house, so he was like, man, you should get out and play with some people. So he suggested looking in the LA Weekly, and seriously, the first ad I called was Andrew's ad.
Wow.
What did the ad say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a trip, man, you know?
Yeah. I think it said looking for funk, soul, blues keyboardist or something like that. I don't know. Like, because there was before Craigslist and all that. So you had to go down and put a thing in LA Weekly. You know, that's how you found, that's how people got together to start up bands, you know, and projects.
Do you guys, like, in listening to your sound and the progression of the music, like Apple was saying, one song can be super serious and a little bit political, and the next one is about buying my hot sauce and getting a slice, you know? Is that a representation of who you guys are as people, personality wise? One of you more serious than the other, or no?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we take turns too. You know what I mean?
Like, you have to. Like,
yeah. So you know, I mean, we both got our silly side, and we both have our more serious kind of side, and it's just you know, just but allowing ourselves to. That, you know, like, it's okay. You know, we haven't, because that's the thing, man. It's real easy to paint yourself into a corner and be like, we're this kind of band.
Yeah. It's gotta be that way.
And, you know, that works for some people, but not for us, you know.
Well, that's one of the beautiful things about the way the world is right now, and the thing with technology and having the internet and all that, is that the lines have kind of come down between groups in a lot of ways as far as influence is concerned. We're all exposed to so much out there. We see so much, and it's hard to, at least for me and the people I know, it's hard to call yourself one thing. And I can imagine as a musician it being like that too. Like, with all that's out there, what are some of the things that, like, I don't know, man, like, drive you to keep making new stuff? What's your inspirations? What are the things that you reach to personally?
Well, for me, it's just a part of life for me. And I write music all the time. I write at least one song a week, part of the song group, and I'm constantly inspired by different rhythms and beats and sounds and different, you know, everything. I mean, there's music in everything, and it's just a part of what I do, man. It's like, I don't look at it as like a job. It's more of just how I'm wired. So, I mean, that's my answer. I don't know if Farrell's might be a little different here.
I mean, pretty much the same thing for me, man. I'm just compelled to make music. I've been playing music since I was a little kid. And it's one of the few things that really just, you know, I can escape in it. And I can also, you know, focus on it and say something, you know, get whatever I'm feeling out. And it's just cathartic and escapist and all these different things for me. And as long as I can, you know, find that in it, then I'm going to keep doing it. I can't ever imagine, you know, not making music.
So what's the cool thing about how you guys, the gentleman-like appearance? I really love that. Like, is that, like, if you guys right now, if, like, we were seeing you guys right now, would you be dressed like that? Because it looks like it's very you. It doesn't seem like a put-on.
Well, it's funny. When we're not in that, we're in jumpsuits.
Yes.
So oh my actually, gosh. Right now, we're all in gray jumpsuits that we wear with our name tags on it. That way, when we show up to the venue, everybody knows who we are. That is awesome. It's like the ultimate backstage pass.
I fucking love it.
That's great. Yeah. So. We wear those to basically keep our nice clothing clean. We
call them, right? Yeah, that shit's expensive, man. Yeah.
We call them. We call them load outfits.
Oh, you guys are so cool. Thank you for this. And what a treat, man. Well, so yeah. What do you guys want what other people to know about what you guys are up to? Like, you're working so much. You said it's a part of your life. Like, so how do you incorporate? You said you're inspired all the time. Like, you know, as far as like maybe putting something out that other people would hear in a different form, like a talk, what would you like to put out?
I didn't quite hear what you said. I'm sorry. Can you say that? Repeat that?
Oh, so yeah. So sorry. I'm probably a little mumble mouth right now. I'm just saying, like, so now you guys are, we've heard some of your music and stuff, like, as far as like an interview or like people listening in like this way conversation, like, what do you guys want to put out? Like, what's some kind of a story or a lesson or something cool that you guys are doing or, you know, all the above?
Yeah, well,
that's a pretty all-encompassing question.
What's the Greyhound
right
message?
Now? Yeah, like right now on
you
a Saturday,
at a quandary.
You know.
Well, I mean, you know, frankly, I mean, I think you know a big part of what we do and just how we do our thing, and I think that's a lesson that people can learn in terms of just living life is being open to new experiences. You know, and not closing yourself off from different ways of thinking, people that are different from you. You know, I mean, a theme that keeps on coming up for me anyway is definitely the divisiveness that's taking place in the country right now. You know, whether it be ideological or racial or whatever, you know, it's like, I think at the base of it all, you know, we all are just looking for the same thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Acceptance.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to lose sight of that when, you know, the emotions get involved, people get angry about, you know, or they think they're so right about one thing or whatever.
Yeah.
It's easy for that to obscure the fact that, hey, you know, we're all just trying to live and, you know, take care of ourselves and our families and, you know, enjoy what life has to offer while we can, you know?
Yeah.
And try to apply that to whatever you do, you know?
Yeah. Like, that's always a part of what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, that and we got a new record coming out April 13th.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear about it.
Yeah.
Very much anticipating that.
Yeah. How about that? Hey.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget that we are supposed to talk about music a little bit.
No. Yeah, we were just being silly.
That's what I love.
Yeah, that was for the manager.
Let's talk about it, man. Literally, it's interesting. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, man. Oh, the record?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Yeah, no, it's we did it all at Sam Phillips Studio and in Memphis, Tennessee. Did the whole record and basically the whole record in 3 days. We did it all on 8-track, 1-inch tape, all live the tape. And just how they would do it back in the day in that studio.
Yeah, I mean, that's old school.
Our buddy Matt Ross Spang. Matt Ross Spang, he engineered it. He's running that place right now. I'm bringing in a lot of great acts. He's getting like Margo Price, Jason Isbell, all these different acts. And he had been hollering at us for a few years to come in there and record. And so we picked a handful of tunes out of the catalog that we knew we could knock out, and ended up recording 13. And there's 10 on the track on the album. We shaved off 3, but yeah, we're real excited about getting that out. And
how'd you guys decide on the songs that you chose? Like those 3, like you started out with that certain amount, and then those 3 ended up leaving. So how did you guys? Was it just because it was too long, or it wasn't right?
Well, yeah, part of it was a combination of those tunes not being what flowing with the record, and then on top of that too, yeah, it wouldn't fit on vinyl. So
do you feel like there's a overarching like message to the album, or is it just like little vignettes or stories that are being told?
Yeah, there are a lot of stories over time. You know, there were songs that Farrell and I've written over the, you know, the course of our tenure together, and they range everywhere from, you know, some of the first tunes we ever wrote to like tunes we wrote on the way to the gig, you know, kind of thing.
That's cool.
But it's there's no real all-encompassing story of the record other than the fact that I think a lot of it we wanted to prove that we could go and do that. You know, we did it in the middle of a tour. It was just so, just everything flowed right. It was super organic. It like just kind of, it all, everything happened in such a nice way. And we got a lot of great friends of ours on the record that live in Memphis. And they came in and did some overdubs, like Art Edmondson on saxophone. He used to play Greg Allman. And,
oh, wow.
And then Will Sexton, Amy LeVere. I mean, there's just a lot of incredible talent in Memphis. So we called everybody who was in town, had them come by, do something.
Stomp, badass.
Clap, you know, whatever.
So you said it was 3 days. Is that like really quick or is that normal? Because no, that's mean, yeah, I was going to, that seems like such a short amount of time to just put out a bomb album.
Yeah. It's, well, that's how you used to have to do it. You know, there's no computer. Okay. Kind of had to go in and commit and move through it and just in the moment, you know, and catch that in the moment stuff that is the good stuff to me.
And that's the lightning in a bottle. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what we did. And it's similar to how we did a lot of our early recordings too. And we just wanted to, you know, it just was nice to go in, record 13 songs in one day, overdub the second day, and then mix down the third day. Wow. You know, just like it was, and then we're done, you know. And but we'll spend a lot more time on the next one, probably. We'll get, but we wanted to prove that we could not do that, that we could do that, you know, too.
Yeah.
We had that in us, and so it was a great experience. Just getting to be in that building and work with Matt and get to use all the weird echo chambers in there and all the strange stuff they have. I mean, there's so many ghosts in that building. It's crazy.
Did you feel it?
Yeah, did you feel that stuff?
Oh, dude, totally. When you roll in there, that energy hits you, man. It's heavy. It's like Cuba, man. It's like you go back in a time warp. You
oh,
know?
Wow.
So did that have an influence on when you guys were playing? Yeah.
What's that?
The like that eerie feeling, you know, like the ghost or that just that energy that you were just saying, like the history. Did that like come into play during the album?
Absolutely. And you know what? That I think any record that you hear, any studio that you go and record in, you know, that's a big part of the sound, you know, that people don't realize is that, you know, that atmosphere that, you know, everybody's feeling it, that contributes so much to a record in this intangible way, but it's a big part of every record you hear.
You're right. You know? I've never even thought of the studio having an effect on the product.
Well, if you think about it, like we're the way this started, like I started talking about my experience with the Grateful Dead because we're all huge Deadheads in this house. And like, if you think about what they did with their recording and allowing people to record shows, the different venues have different sounds. And then those places had effects on the way the music came out. So I can't even imagine being in a place with that, like that kind of history, what would seep into the recording, you know?
Oh yeah. It's just like, you know, if you're painting on wood or if you're painting on a canvas or something like that, it's like that's as much a part of the painting as the strokes you're painting, you know. And I that's, you know, the only comparison that jumped to mind now, but yeah, you know, that's kind of what I liken it to.
Yeah. What is, like, I heard you say, like, there's sound everywhere and that you're like compelled to make the music. And what is the process for you? Like, cause I know, like I draw and I play a little music and I do other stuff creatively and it's like a birthing process for me, you know, like it comes out. What's the process for you when you're writing a song? Well, is there one?
It's different every time, you know. It can come from a beat, can come from a turn of phrase that you hear somebody say, you know. Just the other day, I'm at the hotel, and you know, we go down to the Continental breakfast, and I heard this beep on the waffle machine, and I was like, oh man, we got to put that in a song. There's something about that beep and the way it's kind of oscillating. I don't know, it's kind of weird, but you know, it's just it's everywhere, man. I mean, you know, even the absence of sound, you just never know when that inspiration is going to strike, but you know, it's just a matter of being open and ready to, you know, listen or you know, just being ready, like, you know, just being open to when those things happen, you can, you know, write it down or somehow, you know, catch it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
So, okay, did you write that beep down on like a pad of paper or something? Like, you know, like, how do you remember that? Because in the moment,
the
the waffle maker, sorry. But oh, yeah, no, like,
I recorded the sound with my phone.
Oh my gosh, right on, okay.
Yeah.
Use what you got when you got it.
Yeah, so, you know, keep an ear out for that beep. You know, upcoming albums.
We will.
Name of the song is Waffle House.
That's
so
awesome.
Guys, what is the name of the album? Is that a secret?
Oh, yeah, totally. No, it's not. Yeah. Don't leak it, guys.
Okay, no, don't worry. We'll beep it out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's called Cheyenne Valley Drive. Cheyenne Valley Drive.
All right, so now I got to ask the next question. How do we get there?
To Cheyenne Valley Drive?
Yeah.
Just call Ed Miles.
All right. I love it. How did you come up with the name, man?
Yeah, I'll let Farrell explain that one.
You know, we... we were on our way to the studio in Memphis. We were about to drive there, and we were picking up Ed from his house, and he happens to live on Cheyenne Valley Drive. And we wrote a song about it. Interestingly, it's not on the record, but you know, we were singing it the whole time, you know, and we were like, it's got a nice ring to it. Why don't we just... That's what we'll call the record.
Wow.
You know, when you like work with somebody, especially like your creative self, which you guys are always in that mode. So like, you're just like being creative all the time, but like that also makes you have to be like a certain amount of vulnerable to the, whoever you're being creative with. Like, is that ever a thing for you guys? Like, do you ever consider that like the vulnerability aspect of creating with somebody so intimately all the time?
Yeah. Well, that's a part of relationships, in any kind of relationship. Yeah. You put yourself out there, you know, you express yourself, and you know, there's always a little bit of fear. There's always a little bit of, you know, you got to be honest.
Yeah.
And just put it out there. And you know, any kind of art, it's like you put it out there, and you hope people will like it, but there's no guarantee. And, you know, that's just, you just can't be afraid. You can't let that stop you from doing what you want to do and saying what you want to say. And if people can get with it, then awesome. And if they can't, you know, you might get your feelings hurt, but you can't let that stop you from doing what you want to do, you know?
You got to keep on keeping on, yeah.
So totally. That still happens? You still get your feelings hurt if people say stuff?
Well, you know, I mean, you also got to develop a thick skin as an artist. You know,
yeah.
Kind of like, hey, you can't please everybody all the time. And hopefully, you know, the people that get it and it does something for them, they'll gravitate towards that. And the people that don't, well, then they'll find something else that speaks to them, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
So this might seem like an off the wall question, but like.
Okay, then I have an off the wall one next.
All right, cool. Off the wall is cool. The Apple and I were listening last night to some of your earlier stuff, and man, there's a definite like psychedelic bent to that music. And then as you guys progressed, it's not gone, but it's more refined. Is that psychedelic world part of your guys' life or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In my life, yeah, you know.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big part of it. It's all about like just it's like getting weird.
Fuck yeah.
You know, but you know, just so people generally can relax and realize, oh, these guys are getting out, so I can get out, you know, and like it's okay. You know, like if I wanna go do cartwheels around on the dance floor or whatever. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Or just we in the show too, we have like these wheels, these oil wheels we spin too, and like we try to, you know, we're definitely into the psychedelia aspect of things, that's for damn sure.
Well, that's right, a good on. Segue to my question. I was really enjoying watching you guys. Like most bands nowadays, when you guys play live, the improvisation and stuff. And the new album, I noticed there's a song on it called Space Song. And then you have several videos where you have like an astronaut on stage, which is awesome. The guy's just like slow motion kind of behind you as you're playing. I'm just wondering if there's, what's the connection with the astronaut and the spaceman thing?
Well, Space Song we wrote years ago. And it was just a song about you're on the last spaceship leaving planet Earth. Okay. Everybody has to take off. That's basically what the song's about. But as far as the spaceman is concerned, the astronaut, the spaceman, he's a mystery, man. He shows up to random gigs. You never know when he's going to be there for real.
Okay.
And I think there's a few spacemen all over the country randomly that show up, but it's a special time when if he comes into the scene, it's going to get down.
The spaceman only shows up when the trip is especially good.
That's right.
Wow.
If his spaceship's working and the thrusters are on full, yeah, he'll make it, so.
But it looks like fun. I told Aaron, I was like, dude, I want to get an astronaut outfit and start going to shows.
So you got like a spaceman in Portland,
just,
it sounds
slow
like.
Slow motion walking through
dude,
the floor.
Yeah, there you go. You nailed it.
On with it.
You're the new Portland spaceman.
Oh, yeah. So we were talking a minute ago about like ghosts in the wood and in the places where you guys play and all that. Like, was it Liberty Hall that you recorded in, or were you playing there? What was the deal there?
Liberty Hall?
Yeah.
As far as the album Liberty?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's way back. Yeah. No, Liberty is the name of a theater in Tyler, Texas, where I grew up. That's where we wrote the record. And in fact, that's actually where we wrote Space Song too. Was in that theater. So, Liberty's an old abandoned theater in downtown Tyler, Texas. And our friend Jake, he passed away, but he owned that place and he let us set up in there and basically write. Just write all the tunes for that record. And I think that was like in 01 or 02 or something. Wow. It's been a while, yeah, when we did that. So, but that's Liberty. That goes way back.
Something too, like I've never recorded an album, and you know, being a music geek, like you always hear like this guy produced this album and so and so produced that album, and it, you know, it changed the way the album was done or whatever. Like, you guys worked with Stanton Moore and Robert Mercurio from Galactic and all that. Like, when you work with other people that are producing your stuff, what does that do? Like, what does the producer do for you guys that can change what you're doing?
Well, you know, the producer is such a loose term, you know. I mean, I look at it like this. You know, when you're in the room by yourself or with a friend, and then somebody else walks in the room, and then the vibe changes, and, you know, perhaps the conversation that you have changes, you know, and then another person comes in there, you know, and then it changes it again. Well, you know, I feel like in at least from my point of view, I feel like a producer is just basically, you know, someone that you invite to, you know, be a part of the whole experience, and they inform, you know, a lot of what happens, because if they weren't there, it would be something totally different, you know? And that experience in particular, working with Robert Mercurio and Stanton, you know, that was great. You know, at that point in our career, we were, you know, relatively, you know, unexperienced, and they really, you know, fortunately for us though, you know, coming into that session, we had the songs all written pretty much already.
Right.
So, you know, they just helped us, you know, navigate the experience of working in a studio and getting really good sounds and just, you know, making the best use of the short time that we have to make that record, you know, and we're still good friends to this day. Really, really appreciate them, you know, helping us out with that record. But yeah, man.
Yeah, that, and we also still work with them today. We do a lot of helping with them. Like right now, we're kind of working with them on some of their new tunes for the new record, and which may or may not make it, who knows. But anyway, point is we've always worked together in some form or fashion since then. And it was crazy too, because we also met Ani DeFranco on that session too, which was super random. She ended up singing on a song on that record, and it was pretty heavy, you know, being in New Orleans and just, but that definitely, that was a big help in the beginning.
Question there, man, because I personally, we're kind of new to listening to your music. I can't get enough of you guys. Is there any access to those earlier records you had with Luther Records?
Yeah, probably like the Amazon used bin.
Okay, I'll check it out, man. I gotta hear that stuff too.
Yeah, I had somebody, I'm at some point we'll probably end up repressing a lot of that stuff. But it's, I've had some people find it, yeah, on Amazon in the used area or like in an old record shop. They're like, man, I saw one of your CDs in like Hastings or wherever. I don't know, but yeah,
okay.
From a long time ago.
Well, I got a task then. I need to hunt those down and find them.
Or in the Goodwill, you know, somewhere. Wherever they have used CDs, it's probably somewhere there.
I say there's a lot of those stores up here in Portland, so I got a task at hand now.
There you go.
All right, now.
So speaking of Portland, when are you guys making your way to Portland?
Oh, soon. That's one of our favorite places, man. We love playing up there. We got really good friends up there. Steve Berlin's a good buddy of ours, lives up there. He plays with Los Lobos. Just a lot of incredible musicians up there. So,
can't wait to see you guys, man.
I got excited this morning. I showed Aaron. I was like, look, dude, we can go see him in May. And then I looked and it was, they played the White Eagle.
I was like,
Eagle,
if we got a time machine, we can go back and see him last year.
We'll be up there probably. I'm thinking definitely in the next, it's like a couple months. We're supposed to come up there and do a run.
I think about June.
Yeah, June-ish or somewhere. We definitely will at least come through there probably two times this year, I'm thinking.
Awesome.
So.
Right, I saw you guys were coming to Boise at one point and then down to Arizona.
Yeah, we got to go out in the desert, man, do that thing for a second. But then we'll run up there to the Pacific Northwest as soon as we can.
So are you guys single or you got families?
Did you say, are we single?
Yeah, are you single guys, or do you have wives and families and all that?
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
We're both married.
Yeah, we're both married.
So,
wow, what are you thinking, man?
That was a weird question.
No, yeah, I just wanted to know if you want to go out to dinner when you get up to Portland, brother. That's all, you know?
Yeah, I got your number, dude.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to it. Now, what I'm wondering is, like, How do they handle, like, you guys traveling around all the time and doing your thing? Like, what's that like? That's got to be tough.
Stuff on both of us, on everybody. But the thing is that getting into the relationship, at least in my case, I met her in an airport. So, you know, she was on her way somewhere. I was on my way somewhere. And it's always been like that. And she knew, you know, it's kind of like she knew what she's getting into, getting involved with a musician. So that's just, it's just part of the territory. But the ladies are very professional, awesome, solid ladies, and we're very lucky. They're very supportive.
That's rad. That makes all the difference when you're doing something that's hard and creative and you're putting yourself out there to have somebody behind you that's got your back. It makes all the difference in the world, man.
Yeah, yeah, it does. But no kids that we know of. So.
Yeah, you never know. So you guys are living in Austin right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the best thing about living in Austin, Texas?
The best thing about living in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
The music, the musicians, the food. I mean, the culture. I mean, there's
I think the big thing for me is just the community. You know, it's like the culinary arts, the visual arts, you know, audio arts. Everybody's very supportive of each other, and it's a very tight knit community of people. And you know, and that's it. Just makes it a lot easier. It's not like competitive; it's more like supportive. You know.
Oh, that's cool.
Like a family.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I've heard similar things about Portland. I think that's one of the reasons Portland really appeals to us so much.
Yeah, there's something special here too, man. I mean, every city has its own little flavor, and what's coming out of Austin is amazingly beautiful, man. And when we got up here to Portland, we were blown away at how different it was. I mean, we moved from Las Vegas, so it was a culture shock
here.
For us, you know, to see people that actually loved each other and cared about each other, and the way the community is, it's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Well, fuck, guys. I really appreciate you taking the time out with us. It's amazing to hear the story.
Our pleasure. Thank you guys for, you know, what you do.
Well, thank you, brother. When you come up to Portland, we will be there for sure, standing in the audience, dancing and singing with you.
Well,
definitely want to meet y'all.
Yeah, but I was going to say, what else do you guys want to plug, or what else do you guys want to say before we part ways? Album or?
Yeah, no, that's April 13th, and if you're in Austin, Texas, we'll be at the Continental Club that night. We'll definitely be heading up that way, especially to Portland. Go get our Stomp Town fix.
Right on. When you do come up, man, let's try and hook up and get together. I'd love to fucking meet you guys and say hi.
You bet, man. Yeah, just come. The best way to do it is, you might not want to air this, but just come up. Just come up there, like, you know.
With our space outfits on.
You know, we're usually up there pretty early, loading in and getting sound check and doing our thing. So we're around, man. Come on by.
Right on, man. Awesome. Hey, would it be cool if, as we go out, I play one of your songs as we go out?
Sure.
Yeah.
So what do you want me to play?
Well, we have the sneak preview from the new album on iTunes is No Other Woman is the only one I've been able to hear so far, and looking forward to the rest.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, that's all sure. Right. You jam on that one.
All right, brother. Well, we'll see you in a couple months, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Guys.
You too, man.
So
thank you, man.
You guys have a fucking beautiful day.
What you do, and keep doing what you do, man. I can't, like I said, I can't get enough of you guys. You guys are just killing it. It's great to have you on the show.
Man, thank you. Yeah, I can't wait to meet y'all.
Be well, guys. We'll talk soon.
All right. Later.
Peace.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Yeah. I swear it tastes just like a lemonade. Well, there's nothing I'd rather do, babe. Get you back up to my east side room. Back up to my motel 6 room. You know that's right, baby.
This podcast is in the loop, the Legion of Osiris Podcasts. What does that mean? Osiris is a community of great music and culture podcasts. If you like this one, go check out others at osirispod.com and get in the loop. Osiris is partnered with Relics Magazine at relics.com.